Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. Derek Brandeo, Erica. Where did I get that? Who was I thinking of? Jessica Ellis. Before we get on to the man himself. By the way, I got to find out how they managed to score the doc for the event in Barrie.
His rider must be huge. Bottle of wine, you know.
Something. I don't know. I got to talk to his manager because we can't get him to talk to us other than a couple of minutes every Saturday morning, for God's sake. Anyways, before we do that, I wanted to just lightly touch on the news story that broke again recently. We first talked about it 2 years ago and then again last year. And I just wanted to bring it up again. The Inuit in northern Canada are challenging the federal government on the cuts to the harvest of polar bears. Of course, hunting polar bear is a cultural tradition for these folks. And in some cases, they're only a sustenance during the winter period. The federal government, supported by WWF, the World Wildlife Fund, have been using the polar bear as the poster child, if you will, for their it's their wildlife image of climate change.
Yeah,
and we've all seen it. We've seen the video of this polar bear wandering around the ice fields, looking like it's starving to death and ready to drop dead. And of course, those images are being used at the cost of the Inuits because, listen, public outcry, it's the driving factor in everything we do. And right now, it's driving the federal government to make changes to their current polar bear hunt. And so it's causing trouble out there. And the Inuits are standing up and saying, well, wait a minute. Environment Canada says that there are about 16,000 polar bears left, and those numbers are dropping every day, while the Inuits say that they believe the number has actually increased since the mid-1980s. Now, that's in itself is cause for alarm, I think.
Yeah.
Science should be the overwhelming tool used in making any decisions like this, not popular support or votes. Anyways, they also challenged the headline news story about the, as I mentioned just a moment ago, the emaciated polar bear that we've all seen, and saying that this is what climate change is causing. So it's an interesting story that hit the headlines again on November 4th, and I think we need to keep an eye on it. All of us as concerned citizens of this planet, we definitely need to make sure that what we're hearing is the actual truth. And I'm not suggesting for one moment that it's not, but there's usually three sides to every story, mm-hmm. right? And it's the one in the middle that usually is closer to the truth. So just check it out, and I know you'll do the right thing.
When the owl asks who, the answer is always him. It's time for the most interesting man in the world. Fish Talk with the Doc.
That's right, kiddies. An elongated version of the Doc this week because we've been cutting him short the last couple of weeks. And we're making good on that deal. But more importantly, I wanted to know how the Ice Fishing Expo gets a personal appearance from the Doc. And we can't even get a handshake from him.
How are you doing, Ange?
Doing great. Gord Pizer, of course, we call him the Doc here on the program. He's the award-winning columnist and fishing editor for Outdoor Canada Magazine, Canada's only and most read and the best publication, coast-to-coast-to-coast, featuring hunting, fishing, and all good outdoor activities. So you're going to be at the Ice Fishing Expo. Look at you.
You know, I am, Ange, and I have to be honest. It's probably the one thing I'm so looking forward to coming down to. Nice. You know me and ice fishing. I absolutely love it. And we get so much to do, and so we have so much time up here to do it for all species of fish. And the folks who started the show now for 3 years have asked if I would come. And it's been difficult just with travel plans. It's only a week before Christmas. Yeah. It's never a good time driving up here. But to make a long story short, I'm going to do it this year. So coming down and really, really, really looking forward to it.
Well, anybody listening that is a fan of the doc, and a lot of you are, I know, this is a perfect opportunity to get a chance to maybe do some face-to-face stuff with the doc, especially if you're into ice fishing. What a great venue. What a great backdrop for Gord Peiser and you to share some special moments. And it's all taking place in Barrie, of all places, nice and close to the GTA at Georgian College on the 14th and 15th of December. There you go.
And you know, the other thing, too, just... there's nowhere for me to go, so I'm going to be at the show for the entire both days. And I mean, I'm on my seminars an hour each day, the better part of an hour. So I'm just going to wander around and visit like everybody else. And,
nice.
And yeah, if folks want to talk. Shoot, if they want to come and talk open water fishing, sure. I'm open for that.
For sure. It'll be a good time for all. Gordy, this is our Remembrance Day edition of ODJ Radio, which we do each and every year just before Remembrance Day. We had our good friend General Rick Hillier on earlier on in the program. He's kind of our ambassador on the program regarding Remembrance Day. Any thoughts? What's Remembrance Day mean to you?
You know, it means hugely for me, Ange. I'm a baby boomer, a war baby, if you will. I was born a couple of years after the end of the war, and my dad was a wireless air gunner. He was on Lancaster bombers, you know, the guys in the turrets. My grandson's great-grandfather, at the famous Regina Trench, he was awarded a Medal of Honor. I was showing the kids a couple of weeks ago. We've got his medal, the declaration. He crawled at night across no man's land for 200 yards, and it says on the certificate under an intense enemy sniper fire and machine gun fire at the famous Regina Trench. And then the next morning came back across no man's land again with delivering another message. And as I said to the kids, it took one bullet, one of those bullets, and none of us would be here.
Imagine that. Wow. Wow. You know, we hear stories like that, and yeah, it definitely has the wow factor, no doubt about it. But we really have no idea.
No, we don't have
no idea of what that means. None. None whatsoever.
I said to my wife yesterday, we were watching and they were talking about PTSD. Yeah. My grandfather, he was 4 years in France in the trenches. My dad, he was a wireless air gunner, a navigator, and flew over the English Channel. And he never spoke about it. He perforated his eardrums. He was in hospital in Ireland, convalescing, recovering. Never talked about it. We don't know how his ears were perforated. We don't know what he was. We knew he was flying Lancaster bomber, but you shake your head and you say, you know what? Probably every one of those guys came back with PTSD.
Oh, for sure. No.
It's almost like it's a new disease that we discovered, but you know those guys all came back with it.
No doubt about it. None at all. Anyways, just wanted to find out what your thoughts.
It means a lot to me. Every both my grandparents and my parents are both gone now. So, you know, there's never a Remembrance Day. You don't think long and hard.
That's for sure. Let's move it to bass fishing, because I know that's one of your favorites, and it always puts a smile on your face. Late season bass fishing, a recent blog that you put out, had an interesting little title, and I know an interesting little storyline, and it was about not putting away your umbrella.
Yeah, don't put away the umbrella, even when the sun's shining. In the fall, when you're fishing for smallmouth, an umbrella rig, probably the more popular name is an Alabama rig. Yeah. They are deadly. And the funny thing is, and I'm sure you remember when Paul Elias and several of the guys did really, really well on the bass circuit, Bassmasters, And then all of a sudden the name fell out of you never hear anybody talking about them. They've been banned on the tournament circuit because they're so effective, and it's almost like people forgot about them. But for folks listening to the show today, if they're going smallmouth fishing on Georgian Bay or Lake Simcoe or down on, you know, the south, the eastern end of Lake Ontario, I'll tell you right now, in the fall, in clear water situations, nothing beats an umbrella rig. And so Liam and I were out and we did spectacular. And then I was talking to Buddy Doug Stange, the host of In Fisherman Television. And Doug was throwing an umbrella rig for a largemouth and he was just crushing them. So do not leave home if you're going fishing for bass right now. Do not leave home without the umbrella.
Okay, so now we need to dig down a little deeper. Now that you've started that conversation, why? Why is that presentation so effective in the fall as opposed to summer or even spring?
I think because in the fall, two things. Number one, everybody's gravitating deeper and deeper, smallmouth and largemouth. The largemouth are pulling out of the bays and they're starting to stack up on primary and secondary points. That's one reason. But as they do that, Ange, they do it in large groups. So in the summertime, you'll often find, you know, it's a smallmouth here, and then you go another 20, 30 yards, there's another smallmouth there, you'll go across the shoal, and there'll be, you know, half a dozen. In the fall, they group up in huge numbers. And I think it's the competition factor, for one. The second factor, of course, is they're feeding up voraciously right now to survive the winter. And the other thing is the ciscos are moving shallow to spawn. So you've got two great bunches of fish, and they just see that school of herring or smelt or shad swimming over top of them. And it's the competitive factor again. If there's 15, 20 of you or 40 of you down on that shoal, you want to be the first up to hit that school. So, and the other funny thing, Ange, is it's always the biggest fish. When Liam and I wrote, this was really interesting. I was fishing some other presentations, and he just loves throwing the darn thing. He loves throwing the Alabama rig. And I probably got 3-1 for his fish, and his were always bigger.
Isn't that interesting? Wow. I think to drive that whole point home about these creatures schooling up in the fall period, the late period of the year. And because we can't see them, Gord, you know, that's the thing that makes fishing so wonderful and has a sense of mystery, is because we really can't see them that well. But I want to, you know, focus your attention on other wildlife this time of year. And the one that in particular comes to mind is the starling. This time of year, it's not unusual to see 1,000 or 2,000 birds all clustered up, either roosting on a tree or on telephone wire lines or flying together. But they're like thousands of them are all balled up, whereas in the summertime, it's one here, one there, one over there.
Exactly.
And they're the same. They've got to be doing the same thing.
I think you're right, Ange. They're packing up and And you know, many of them are heading south or heading further south, and they do it in numbers. And I think you hit on a really, really good point. It is a fall phenomenon, if you will. But largemouth do it. Northern pike, I don't think people realize that you can find schools of pike right now, like 20, 30 northerns. You don't ever see that usually in the summertime.
It's fascinating. I think we need to learn more about why that's happening. I mean, we have our theories, right?
Yeah.
But maybe the key is right there. We just need to understand that activity a little bit more.
Yeah.
When are the days done for open water fishing for you guys?
Today they ended, and I'll tell you why. Ange, yesterday Liam got off school, and well, let's go check a couple of deer spots out last night, and we're going to probably go out deer hunting today. We went just north of Kenora, and you can, if you've got one of those cheering things buttons, you can push it right now. The lake was totally frozen. We walked out maybe. Exactly.
There you go. It takes us a little while here. Don't. He was sleeping. Steven was sleeping.
I was waiting for you to say the thing.
There was probably 3 to 5 inches on shore. I guarantee by this time when we talk next week, I'll have gone speckled trout ice fishing sometime this week.
Really? That
quick? It's 3 to 5 inches along shore. There was a little bit of open water, but this was a 1,000-acre lake. So the small trout lakes, you know, those 100, 200 acres, I guarantee they're solid right now. And now I'll be walking tight to shore, so if I broke through, I'd simply just get a little bit wet and walk in. But I know it's going to be pretty good. It's they're tight. It's 10 below Celsius today, 18 below tomorrow. So
you're
let
killing
the fun
me,
and games begin.
Hey, I was just thinking, when you're down for the ice fishing show in December in Barrie, I mean, you got Lake Simcoe that'll be all frozen up, hopefully by that time. You might want to take a walk out there. You never know.
I think I'll be walking around the show. That'll be good enough for me.
My friend, thank you very much, and we appreciate you each and every week here on Outdoor Journal, and you have a wonderful weekend.
You too, Ange. Always fun. Thank you.
Gord Peiser, the doc from Outdoor Canada magazine, Canada's most read outdoor publication, has been for years and years to come. If you don't have one right now in your home, make the change. Go to outdoorcanada.ca. Tell them you want to subscribe and tell them the doc sent you. They'll do something extra nice for you. That or it, Stephen?
Yes.
We made her again.
Yes, we did.
Look at us. On behalf of the entire ODJ radio team, Stephen Labadee, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis, of course, our producer, Jonathan Winters on the road, as usual. I'm Angelo Viola. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you next Saturday.